Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, August the 31st, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Pain, God's Alarm System. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
I know that as I keep on aligning myself with the Word of God, my eyes will be totally healed. And I'm thankful for all that God has taught me through digging in the Word for the answer. I'm telling you, I have seen so much. You know, when I first got saved, I thought I probably did God a favor. But as I've been digging, and I thank God for Merle, because he pointed out to me one day, he said, I didn't know he was an eye doctor. I was sitting by him at the dinner table and just sharing about my eyes. And he told me, he said, I don't believe your eyes will be healed until God deals with the pride. So I started looking up pride. I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord. I have seen so much, and I've got so many messages that I haven't even taught here on, you know, God's ornaments or ornaments of pride. I listen to Monty's tapes on pride. I've even slept with those tapes. I slept with these tapes. When I go to the airport to take a puppy, I listen to those tapes, every scripture he shares. I repent. I'm yawning, birching, belting all the way. And then I do it, and I listen to the same tape two or three times. I thought, you know, I need to get this in my spirit. So I played it while I slept one night. Because, you know, your body's asleep, but your spirit man's awake. That's what the Song of Solomon says. And so God's Word has much to say about pain. And, you know, sometimes people are given mind-altering drugs. And those drugs, the side effects of those psychiatric medicine is suicide. Plus, it keeps you drunk in this drunken stupor. And I know people that have accidentally killed themselves taking medication. The lady that drowned her kids years ago in the bathtub, she was on psychiatric meds. The guy that shot everybody up north recently, or last year, or this year, he was on psychiatric meds. Yeah, they all were. Every shooting, Monty said, that you hear about somebody shooting people, it's because they're on psychiatric meds. I know a man that I thought he willfully killed himself, but you know how many of you, maybe if you take vitamins, you think later on, did I take my vitamin this morning? Well, I don't take psychiatric meds, but say you did this. The Lord showed me that this man, he would have never killed himself. He loved himself too much. I'm serious. But he probably, after I researched the drug that he died on, it keeps you in a stupor, in a psychotic state, and you can drive someplace and don't even know you drove there. And probably, I feel like he took one, and he didn't remember he took it, and he took another one, and he took another one, and he took another one, and he killed himself. It happens a lot. She's a nurse. It happens a lot. And let me tell you something. If you're trying to bomb yourself out on something, it violates God's Word that says be sober and be alert. And if you're on it, I'm not condemning anybody, okay? But get deliverance, and you'll need it less and less. And I'm not telling you to quit anything, because that's between you and the Lord. And so I've had people tell me that even with medication, I've been depressed every day. The man that had been in the homosexual, had the pain in his rectum. He was on psychiatric medicine for 30 years. And he said, I always was depressed. And after he got deliverance, his little boy threatened to kill six teachers, was kicked out of the first grade, and he was on medication. After they went three seminars and got delivered, the little boy said, Dad, let's just get rid of our medicine. And he did, and they've never had medicine since. So deliverance works. In fact, I'll tell you, I wouldn't be doing it for 32 years free of charge if it didn't work. You wouldn't be running this camp. And I thank God he gave me a puppy kennel and gave me puppies, and he sells them, and I use it for the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is some scriptural reasons. Spiritual adultery and leading others to play the harlot. In 2 Chronicles 21:19, says that now it came about in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, that his bowels came out because of his sickness, and he died in great pain, and his people made no fire for him like the fire of his fathers. My son Todd was having the same kind of bowel problems, and I led him in repentance of spiritual adultery. Well, now, what is spiritual adultery? If I'm going to be the bride of Christ, and my heart goes after other lovers, and his heart was homosexuality, was torn that way, he'd been baptized 3 times. He believed in Jesus, went to a Christian school, carried on a sexual relationship with a religion professor, and at First Baptist Academy, downtown Dallas. Anyway, when I led him to repentance, that left. And another time his feet were burning on the bottom. And the scripture says in Proverbs 6:27, because of a harlot, a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. It said, can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? Can he walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? And so that could be one of the roots to burning feet. We were praying for somebody this morning, and Merle said also generational firewalking. Which makes sense. I mean, it doesn't have to be the only route, but the Bible gives you the answer if you look up the scriptures related to your symptoms or your body part. And then wickedness, Job 15:20 says, repenting of these, the wicked man writhes in pain all of his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. The next reason is knowledge that's increasing. Ecclesiastes 1:18 says, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Why is that? Because as we see our issues, it's painful to face them. But we get wisdom when we find out what God's trying to tell us through that pain. And the next thing is forgetting the God of your salvation. And that is Isaiah 17:10 through 11. For you've forgotten the God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore you plant delightful plants and set them with vine slips of a strange God. In the day that you plant it, you carefully fence it in, and in the morning you bring your seed to blossom, but the harvest will be a heap in a day of sickliness and pain. So what we're doing is we're forgetting God and we're doing it ourselves. Which that ties in my life with pride, the generational iniquities of the forefathers, doing things in your own human strength. Kind of like Monty grew up on a farm, pulling yourself up with your own bootstraps, hanging in there and letting the front end drag kind of people. And I've been that kind of person, and I have to constantly, I'm not delivered yet, but I'm getting there. I'm better than I was. And then the next thing is not obeying or listening to God's voice. Jeremiah 6:19 and verse 24. Hear, O earth, behold, I'm bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it also. And I love the scripture, what God says, commit your way to the Lord. And I love what King James Bible says, and I will establish your thoughts. I need my thoughts established. All of us do. And so, verse 24 says, we've heard the report of it. Our hands are limp. Anguish has seized us. Pain as of a woman in childbirth. That's Jeremiah 22, 21 through 23. No, maybe that's 6:4. And then idolatry. All sin is idolatry. Jeremiah 30:15. Why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. I have done these things, God says. So idolatry is loving anything more than you love the Lord. Anything you don't think you can live without is idolatry. Being a worldly church member, which goes back to spiritual adultery, if I'm going to be the bride of Christ and my heart's going after something I love more than Jesus, I've committed spiritual adultery. Suddenly, Babylon, which is the type of the worldly whore church, has fallen and been broken. Wail over her. Bring balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. And then rebellion. Lamentations 1:12 says, is it nothing to all you who pass this way? Look and see if there's any pain like my pain, which was severely dealt out to me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. Verse 18, the Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his command. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my pain. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. And then being a Philistine, which I think ties in with the cruel spirit, cruelty. But the Philistines, they were wallowers. Are you a person that likes to wallow in your self-pity? They were wallowers. They were warlike. Do you like to fight? At the drop of a hat, can you get in the fight? You have an angry problem. They were uncircumcised. And, of course, we're to be circumcised of heart. They were God's enemies. They were intensely religious. They had a religious spirit. They celebrated in the house of their idols. They worshiped Dagon, Ashtoreth, which are Ishtar, the goddess of propagation. They worshiped Dagon, and he's depicted, if you ever see a picture of him, as half fish and half man. A modern terminology could say a little mermaid. They writhed in great pain. Let me read the scripture. Zechariah 9:5. Ashlikon, which is the Philistine city, will see it and be afraid. Gaza, which is another Philistine city, will writhe in great pain. Also Ekron, another Philistine city, for her expectation has been confounded. Moreover, the king will perish from Gaza, and Ashlikon will not be inhabited. So it's kind of a lonely place. In 1 Samuel 17, this fish god, these were water, you know, it's also water spirits. It's tied in with Leviathan, Python, Poseidon, Neptune, the fish god. This was a revelation when the Lord gave me a message the other day about taking up the shield of faith. I began to do a word study on shield. And in the Old Testament Hebrew verse, it means it means a big shield of protection. It means a protection. But in the negative, it means the strong, tough hide of a crocodile. Well, is Leviathan a crocodile? He's a water spirit, right? And you awaken him through cursing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I don't quite understand all of it, but when I speak words of life, or if I'm speaking negativity, words of death, I wake him up. If I deny myself and take up the cross, then the manifested life of the Lord Jesus comes through love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. For me to deny myself, I'm clothing myself with humility. If I rear up and I'm alive to my flesh, I'm letting Leviathan manifest. And guess what? Instead of clothing myself with humility, I've clothed myself with the tough, scaly hide of a crocodile, my protector. You know, in Leviathan, when it says all of his strong scales are his pride, means his shield. And so I'm using human strength, human effort, self-protection, self. So God's teaching me that when I get up on my high horse, which I've been most of my life, to take a lowly seat. Right now it's an exercise. But God's going to deliver me. Amen? He's going to deliver you too. But it's the truth that sets us free. So do you have a Philistine spirit? You like to fight? You like to war? Are you God's enemy? It's an antichrist spirit too. It's pride. Here are the consequences: writhing in pain, death. And you can read this in Judges around 6, 7, 8, something like that. Death, tumors, hemorrhoids. I think King James says hemorrhoids. New American Standard says tumors. Plagues. It says deadly confusion in the New American Standard. It says confusion, but deadly confusion. I don't know what that means, except you might be making some mistakes in your confusion that will bring death. Desolation. And not inhabited. So that's a Philistine spirit. And then worshiping the beast, Revelation 16:10. And the fifth angel poured out the bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. So how do we worship the beast? You know, if you've been in Freemasons, every level of Masons is building a temple for the beast to sit in, and when you're the 32nd or 33rd, I don't know which, then the beast comes to sit in the temple, your body, and you have reached sinless perfection. And so that's a curse we probably all need to break off our bloodline if you haven't. Unforgiveness. Matthew 18:34, and his Lord moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers. Demons that inflict pain, which means pain of disease, inquisitor, until he could get what he wanted. So Jesus said it's wicked to not forgive. And oftentimes God just used his pain to bring back our souls from the pit that we may be enlightened with the light of life. It says in Job 33:19, for it is the truth which sets us free. Job 15:18 says, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. I hear people say, you know, the devil's just attacking me. Well, he can't attack you unless God lets him. Hello? The devil's not bigger than God. He's not stronger than God. He's not omnipotent, omnipresent, and he's not all-powerful. And God created him for his very own purposes. If there wasn't a devil, you'd be a robot. I don't know why God, all the reasons God created the devil, but it says everything was made by him and for him, and there wasn't anything that was made without him. But if there wasn't, if you didn't have something to choose against, then you'd be a bunch of robots. How many of you have told somebody, I want you to love me? Love me, love me. That's no fun in that. You want to know people love you because they love you. And so we have to seek the Lord for the right way. He sent his word to heal me. It's found in his word. And the right way leads us to the place of his presence, to the heel of the Lord. Psalms 107:7 says there were those who were dwelt in misery and chains, prisoners, because they had rebelled against the Lord. Okay, some reasons that would bring vexation to our heart. If your mom and dad had pain, if they didn't deal with it, it can be transferred, especially in the womb. I know a young man who was in the womb, and his mother found out while he was still in the womb that her husband was having an affair with another woman. He picked up all of her sorrow. He absorbed her emotions. It opened him up to a distrust of men, maybe a dislike of men. We can have vexation because of our own failures. That's been my greatest grief. It's easy for me to forgive you, but it's harder for me to forgive me. Our failures, the failures of others to live up to our expectations, people being sorrowing. I remember when Jane was leading us in that song, you're all I need, you're all I need, Jesus, you're all I need. I remember when my husband left me with two little boys. I remember it was Thanksgiving, a lonely time, and I was laying in front of the fireplace, and before that I said, Jesus, you're all I need. You're all I need, Jesus. I was so on fire for the Lord, and then he left, and the Lord said, Jerry, am I really all you need? Yes, God, but I want my husband back. Anyway, you know, you always want your life to be perfect. You want your kids not to have to suffer what you went through. But that's life. We can be bitter or we can get better. Use what you go through to be used for God's glory, to make you better and not bitter. You can grieve over divorce, vexation, holding unforgiveness toward the other woman, being abandoned, not being nurtured, not being loved, not being cared for, being sexually, verbally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically abused, having to be the mama and the daddy, the caretaker in the family. People that had to be the caretaker have a hard time resting. Not being allowed to express your feelings. Merle said something this morning when we were praying for somebody, I don't remember who we were praying for, somebody that was having migraine headaches. And he said, and this makes sense, he said migraine headaches come in, one way they come in, it's head has to do with authority, but it's doing having stuffed emotions, he said, internalized anger. If I have to, as a kid, if I'm not allowed to share my heart, I just have to shut up and stuff it, then there's anger there, and it's internalized. And so if I'm trained up to be a stuffer, I'm still a stuffer. And that internalized anger can be the root of headaches. Worry, anxiety, tension, fear, high blood pressure, not growing up being allowed to express your feelings, to say how you feel, having to hold everything in, living in such a way that you've had to walk on eggshells because you're going to make somebody mad, soul ties with all these people that have abused you, being physically, mentally, emotionally abused, being rejected, beat in the head, beat in the back, being parents playing mind games with you, loving you based on your performance. You see, if you were loved based on what you did, you're still trying to perform for God, and God doesn't want you to perform. If you were trained up to turn the... You know, God's the potter and you're the clay. The clay rests on the potter's wheel. It rests. That's all the clay does is rest, which is a picture of obey, being under God's authority. Or if you were trained up to be a performer, you're trying to turn the potter's wheel. You're trying to do a set of things to be acceptable. I remember that I heard a message by Peter Lord years ago called Turkeys and Eagles. And in that message, he said, if you could judge yourself between 1 and 10, what would you say you are? This, I'm fixing to give myself away. But he said, if you could judge yourself from 1 to 10, what would you say? If I was so self-righteous, I'd have said, I'm a 10. But you know what? If I'd have said I'm a 1, I'm still self-righteous because I'm basing it on what I do instead of on what God did. And so I used to have this illustration. On one side, I'd say to be holy, I have to pray an hour a day. I have to read my Bible. I have to be a soul winner. I have to, I have to, I have to, I have to. And because I was disciplined in all those areas, I did all those things. And that's why I would have said, but it was based on what I did instead of what Jesus did for me at the cross. Does that bear witness to somebody? So I'm going to ask you the question. If you could say, if you could judge yourself between 1 and 10, what would you say you were?
Zero.
Yes, very good. You got it, girl. I wish it had taken me so long to figure that out. But I used to know I was self-righteous, but I didn't know why. And so I thank God for the things that He's taken me through. And that I always, because I had a daddy that would always answer my questions and always solve my problems, it was easy for me to go to God because I could always go to my daddy. But you see, if you grew up without a daddy, Kathy, your husband, what Stan said, that when a little boy grows up without a daddy, he has no identity. And so he's searching for an identity, trying to be identified. So if you grew up without your daddy, you need to forgive your daddy that he didn't give you an identity. It's kind of like the glory of children is their fathers. If you had your daddy's glory and you had your father, it's almost like the glory is like an aura in the spirit realm. If you had that aura, the demons say, you better leave him alone. He's got a daddy. But if a child grows up without a daddy, he has no glory. So the demons say, you can pick on him or her because they don't have a daddy. But Lord, give every person in here a revelation that you are the greatest daddy anybody could ever have. Amen. And I ask you to come fill that void in every heart. I ask you, God, to give every person in here an identity in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Being rejected, being controlled, and that can be another route to headaches. Being controlled, being stubborn, be stiff-necked, bowing your neck, never allowed to be who you are. I'm not talking about sin. Not being protected, living after the flesh, my flesh or someone else's flesh. So I want you to stand up and ask the Lord to show you. If you have pain, Lord, I pray if there's pain in any person that you'll let it manifest so they'll know they have it if they don't already know they have it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let me say this. If you have arm problems, it's usually arm of the flesh or what you're carrying with your arms. If you have back problems, it can be a burden on your back. If you have feet problems, it can be bitter towards your path. If you have hand problems, what have you done with those hands? You need to go through all the scriptures on hands and repent of all of them. You've done perverted things. You've baked cakes with, you've done good things, bad things with your hands. Ministry has to do with, hands have to do with ministry. And there's other things too. So Lord, search my heart. Show me the root of my vexation, my hurt, my bitterness, why I hurt. God, show me the hurt, the sorrow, the grief, the anger, the provocation. Lord, show me where I've been hurt and show me who I'm bound to with a soul tie, or show me whatever I need to see, Lord. I ask for the truth that sets me free. And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you in emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain. Neck pain can be bowing your neck, being controlled. Did you know that the yoke of Jesus, you can't see it with the human eye? But if somebody, if I try to control you, I've got my yoke on your neck. Now, my biggest yokes have been self-inflicted. I have certain expectations of myself. And I need the yoke of Jesus to replace my self-inflicted yoke. So, Lord, I ask you to search my heart. And, Lord, let me know the truth that sets me free. And then deal with whatever the Lord shows you. Soul ties with, if it's a person, if you hurt someplace, the Lord's showing you a person that hurt you, then forgive. Anybody hit you or physically abuse you or hurt you or... Lord, I take the keys to the keep repenting. I'm not trying to rush you. I'm just praying. I take the keys to the kingdom of heaven and I unlock people's emotions. I unlock everything that's been stuffed down there. You can sit down when you're through, but don't sit down until you're through. There's tremendous pain coming down through slavery, through what was done to African Americans through slavery. And if we had a forefather that was a slave owner, that cruelty has brought destruction on us. Those of you sitting down, be repenting of every sexual sin you've ever committed so we can break soul ties with those people. Pornography. Praise the Lord. And when I break soul ties, you can break them lots of ways, but this is why I break them the way I break them. It says in Psalms 106, Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. I did a word study on image, and it says in Romans 1 that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which is one of the roots to Alzheimer's. You're either overcoming or you get overcome. So when I'm breaking soul ties, I'm really calling back everything of mine that got on them, and I'm sending back everything of theirs that got on me, and I'm exchanging, like if I had a soul tie with Eva. And there's good soul ties and bad soul ties, but say I had a bad soul tie with Eva, is I'm exchanging the image of Eva for the image of Christ. Does that make sense? So, but you don't have to, you can break them whichever way. There's no set formula. That's just why I do it. It sounds weird maybe to some people, but that's why I do it that way. Okay, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for sexual sin. Forgive me for looking at internet pornography and looking at pornography. I forgive every person who's ever touched me or my forefathers in an inappropriate way. I forgive parents who have beat me in the head, hit me with everything they could hit me with, and child abused me physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, and spiritually. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my father and my mother that I never knew them, that they didn't train me up, they were not in my life, and I forgive my father for not giving me an identity, not affirming my femininity, or affirming my masculinity. Father, I forgive him that he was not my glory. And Lord, I've been picked on, searching for an identity my whole life because he was not there. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I truly forgive him. I break soul ties with my father. I call back my soul and spirit from him. I send back his soul and spirit to him. I exchange his image for the image of Christ. Now lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, would you come and be my father? Would you come and give me a revelation of and adopt me as your son, as your child, as your daughter? And Lord, I pray that from this day forward, when the powers of darkness look at me, they will say, you better leave him, he or she alone, because God is their glory. Because God, the Heavenly Father, the greatest Father, is your Father. In Jesus' name. Okay, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive anyone who physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, or spiritually abused my forefathers or abused me. Any person who's ever touched me or spoke an evil word to me or my forefathers, I forgive them. In the name of Jesus. Forgive me for having authority problems. I forgive my mother and father that they never would let me express myself. They trained me up to stuff my emotions. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to unlock my emotions so that from this day forward, I'll be able to speak the truth in love and not be like a keg of dynamite ready to go off because of internalized anger that's given me a headache. Forgive me for worry and forgive me for fear, anxiety, tension, stress, and nervousness. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, forgive me. I forgive my parents for perfectionism, for training me up to be a performer, to train me up to turn the potter's wheel, telling me what I needed to do when God, you just said, yield to me, take my yoke upon your neck, and you do it for me. The potter does all the work. The clay just rests. Lord, I break the power of a spirit of unrest off of every person in this room in Jesus' name. I break every curse of illegitimacy all the way back to Adam and Eve. And Lord, you said an illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And I bring them into the sanctuary of the Lord in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for spiritual adultery that would cause my bowels to fall out. Forgive me for being involved with a harlot, a physical harlot, a spiritual harlot, that would cause me to be reduced to a loaf of bread. Forgive me for taking fire to my bosom and walking on hot coals to burn my clothes and burn my feet. Forgive me for wickedness that's caused me to writhe in pain. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for rejecting knowledge. Forgive me for wanting to be such an individual, which is pride, that I can't receive knowledge and it's caused you to reject me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for forgetting you, the God of my salvation, which would cause me to reap a harvest, a day of sickliness and incurable pain. Forgive me for my own ideas, my own plans, my own works, and not letting you, Lord, establish my thoughts. God, I need you to tell me step 1, 2, 3, 4, and every step after that. God, forgive me for my plan. Forgive me for trying to make a place for you instead of seeking your face, Lord. We're all guilty of that. Lord, forgive me for not obeying and listening to your voice, which would cause you to bring disaster upon me. The fruit of my plans, oh God, forgive me for following my plans and not yours. Lord, thank you that you have a plan. Forgive me for idolatry. God, for crying out over my injury. And Lord, my pain is not incurable with you because I repent. Forgive me for being a worldly church member, a half-stepper, a religious person, a Pharisee. God, forgive me for rebellion. I ask you to press every person out. Press them out. Heal them, Lord. Forgive me for being a Philistine. I renounce the Philistines and the sons of Belial. They're all tied in together, the cruel ones. Father, forgive me for being a wallower. And forgive me for being an attention getter, wanting attention so bad that I'll do whatever I can to get it. Lord, you see me all the time. I don't even have to act up for you. You're looking at me, Lord. Your eye is always on me. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to give every person in here a revelation of how much you love them and that they're your children. God, I ask you to adopt them as sons. And I forgive every person, pray with me, every person that's ever controlled me. I forgive my mother and father. Forgive me for having this standard of what I think I ought to be like to be perfect, which is all idolatry. Forgive me for thinking that I'm a 1 or I'm a 10. Forgive me for self-righteousness. Forgive me for arrogance and forgive me for haughtiness. God, I've been, instead of clothing myself with you, I've clothed myself with that hard-hearted, scaly hide of a crocodile. I strip that off, I cut it off with the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, I ask you to clothe me with humility in Jesus' name. Now I want you to lift your hands to heaven. And Lord, I break off my yoke of my mother and my father, my husband, my wife, my children. And I break my yoke off my neck. And I ask you, Father God, to yoke my neck with the yoke of heaven. I ask you, Lord, to drop your yoke on their necks as they submit to your lordship. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Spirits of perfectionism and performance, you stink. Get out in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. God is appalled by our performance. And we've all done it. We've all been there. But Lord, thank you. It's peaceful on the potter's wheel. Because all you have to do is just rest in God and surrender to Him and stay under His control. And it's light and easy. Praise the Lord. And you rest. Lord, forgive me for being a Philistine. Forgive me for worshiping Dagon, Jezebel, Python, Leviathan, Poseidon, Neptune, and all these water spirits. God, forgive me for being your enemy, loving the world, making myself your enemy. Forgive me for having a religious spirit. Are y'all repenting with me? Okay. Or am I just repenting? Lord, forgive me for celebrating in the house of my idols. Forgive me for worshiping Dagon, Ashtoreth, Ishtar. God, forgive me for having a sanctuary to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. God, I renounce the Philistines. Did you know that when I was doing the teaching on the shield, that Goliath had a shield bearer? It means he was trusting Leviathan, Satan, the strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. That was what his shield meant. So, Lord, forgive me for trusting pride, self-protection, trusting myself, operating in the flesh. Lord, I choose to die to my flesh in Jesus' name. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive me for worshiping the beast. I renounce Freemasonry at every level of the beast coming to sit in my temple. In Jesus' name, I tell the beast to get out in Jesus' name. I don't worship you anymore in Jesus' name. All spirits of unforgiveness, in Jesus' name, you have to go. I break your power. Lord, I forgive myself. Lord, forgive me for having all these expectations of myself. I let them go. I only want to abide in you on the potter's wheel. I forgive everyone who's divorced me or been unfaithful to me or betrayed me, abandoned me, not nurtured me, not loved me, not cared for me. I forgive anyone who sexually, verbally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically abused me. I forgive my mother and dad that I had to be the mama, the daddy, the workhorse, the caretaker. I forgive my parents for being incompetent, not training me up. I forgive them for provoking me to anger by not bringing me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Lord, I forgive them for putting too heavy loads on my back. I forgive them, Lord, that I had to keep my feelings in. I forgive them for not valuing me, not caring for me, not appreciating me, not considering me. I forgive my parents for neglecting me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for rejecting me, controlling me. Lord, I come under your control. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to... Lord, I pray that you help me fulfill the purpose you put me here. Thank you that you will never leave me, fail me, or forsake me. I forgive my parents for not protecting me. Forgive me for living after the flesh, living after someone else's flesh. Forgive me for being fear of man more than I fear you. Forgive me for having an Ahab spirit and letting Jezebel control me. Forgive me for being a Jezebel, being on my high horse. You know, we can say, well, we were delivered from Jezebel. Can I tell you, every time you get on your high horse, guess who's riding it? God says, take a lowly seat. Amen. Take a lowly seat. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, in the name of Jesus, we come against rejection. We come against pain. Lord, I remove vexation from my heart, and I put pain out of my body. I break soul ties with every person I've ever had sex with, every person that's ever touched me or my forefathers in an inappropriate way, every person who's ever spoke evil words to me or my forefathers. I renounce slave owners that have enslaved me, taskmasters in Jesus' name. I break soul ties with every person. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And now, Lord, I remove vexation from my heart and I put pain out of my body. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut the body parts of every person that's ever touched them or had sex with them. I cut those parts off. I cut the burdens off their backs in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise you, mighty God. Praise you, God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. I love you. Come to the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Bless you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.